Well, all right. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Time for church. Come on in, grab a seat. It's good to have you tonight. Certainly live streamers, wherever you're joining us from, it's good to have you. As you are gathering in here and grabbing your kids and pulling them close, a couple things to let you know about. Don't forget men, all the men in the house. Saturday morning, 9 a.m., men's breakfast. Somebody asked me, what are we eating? I'll decide that when I go to the store tomorrow. All right. 9 a.m. on Saturday. Whatever it is, it's going to be good. So I hope to see you there for that. It'll be a good time. Also, this coming Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we have our first youth hangout Sunday night version of the year. So 5th through 12th grade, come on out for that. Invite some friends out. That'll be a good time, too. There'll be some food there for them. There'll be worship. There'll be a message. And I think I got like a, I don't know if it's a $25 gift card giveaway on Sunday night for those guys for a little game. So it'll be fun for that. But anyhow, small groups are picking up. We're in February starting Sunday, so check out your small group listing at the back wall back there. And also, don't forget, Love Your Marriage is happening at the end of February, the last Friday night in February. Love Your Marriage, 6 to 9 p.m., child care provided, dinner provided, and a whole lot of very good, encouraging teaching for your marriage, and the theme of the night is called Unified. So sign up in the back for that, and I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a good time, too. So anyways, having said that, let's stand up on our feet tonight. Let's worship Jesus together. This is for those who are hurt.
Great job. Oh, thanks. You too. Thank you.
It did. It really did. I ain't gonna brag.
No, you don't understand. So I checked it before you wrote it. It looked good. And I got down here, and I it was like I was so nervous I was overlooking it. I was like, I can't remember the words. And then right at the last second, it said, let fit. I was like,
thank you, sir. All right, we'll get kids checked into kids' church and all that good stuff. But as that's happening, as you're saying hi to some people and loving on them for a minute, you can also prepare your giving, your tithe, and your offering. Tithe is 10% of the increase that comes into your life. We take that from Abram's interaction with Melchizedek, the forerunner of Jesus, foreshadow of Jesus, and offering, whatever, anytime the Lord places something upon your heart that's above your tithe, that's an offering. So you can prepare that if you have that tonight. And in just a second, I will pray over that. But real quick announcement. So Tom, we've been announcing some electricity classes that he was doing with the young people and adults. So he made a decision that he's actually going to combine the classes instead of doing two separate classes that run. And they begin February the 8th. So if you signed up for that, Saturday, February the 8th, those classes start with Tom. They'll be here at the church. So we'll announce this again on Sunday, then it starts the next Saturday. So be sure if you signed up for it, you prepped for it. I know there were some things you may have to get a hold of before that. It's going to be a good time. And we're looking forward to that. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray over your giving. Lord, we thank you to give tonight because we are becoming people who freely give as you freely give to us. And Lord, there's nothing that grabs hold of our life that's outside of this heart that you're building in us, and that includes money. Money will not be our God. And we learn this in part by giving in times like this. And I thank you for that you're creating in us and through us what you intend us to be. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. So if you got it, you can bring it. If you have a Bible, while they're doing that, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm still talking about prayer tonight. I think I may be done after tonight, but when you come next Wednesday, you'll find out. We'll see. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. So I want to talk to you about something tonight that I actually come back to quite a bit because I don't know why my heart, my spirit keeps being drawn back to the subject in a certain way because I think this is so important that we catch it. So Revelation chapter 4. Now this is part of the vision that John the Revelator was seeing. And it's a vision of the throne room. So what I want to do is, as I read this, what I want you to do is I want you as to the best of your ability to picture in your mind what I'm reading. Okay? Does that make sense? And your mind's going to be stretched a little bit because I think this thing's got some creatures in it and all sorts of stuff. All right? So ready? Here we go. Revelation 4:1. And after I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And this is part of the ongoing vision that John was receiving. And at once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, and one seated on the throne. So picture this. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were the 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, representative of the Holy Spirit. And before the throne, there was like the sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second creature like an ox, the third, the living creature was the face of the man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, Lord, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." That's some picture. And I think we can get a good grasp of it, yet I think it's still beyond, a little bit in some ways, beyond our understanding. I read that to turn around and say this, okay? At no time do I believe that while this is happening and God is on the throne and Jesus at the right hand of the Father full of power and authority and all things underneath him, does God get worried? I don't imagine him all of a sudden getting so anxious he gets up off the throne and he's walking around wringing his hands because he's just not sure what to do. I don't think he gets surprised by stuff. Oh my, I can't believe, I didn't know that was going to happen. Oh my goodness, that just caught me off guard. He didn't have to get a holy huddle, the Trinity. Man, I don't know what to do now. We got to make up a plan because our last plan didn't work. We got to figure something out here. He's not caught off guard. He's not surprised. And I say that to say this, that God is the stability. Colossians 1, in this incredible poetic Christology of Jesus, you know, through him all things were made, and in him all things hold together. Look, God is the stableness, if you want to put it that way. He's the stability. And I want you guys to start to catch that you can find your rest in that stability. The God who doesn't get worried and the God who doesn't get anxious and the God who is surprised by nothing, the God who is not taken off guard, to learn to find your rest in that. But here's what I know, and this is what we must learn. Go to Psalm 46. There's a portion of this psalm that gets referenced a lot, but I just want to read the whole thing to you. Psalm 46. I want to talk to you a little bit about how to find that stability, the stable one. Psalm 46. Watch, the wording. Listen to what this is. Don't just read this with me. Listen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present in the here and the now, present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And watch the cataclysmic things that the psalmist starts to write. I won't fear even if the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, those waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, I won't fear. See, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, but he utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, and he burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. Notice the descriptions of God, and all of a sudden it turns to God talking. Be still and know that I am God. For I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of the host is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Though the earth gives way and the mountains be moved in the heart of the sea, though the ocean rages with foam and the mountains tremble, and though the nations rage and the kingdoms totter, God is not worried, nor is he anxious, nor is he surprised, nor is he not sure what to do. For he is our ever-present help in the day of turmoil and trouble. He is our ever-present help in the day that makes us be anxious, in the day that catches us by surprise, in the day that makes us wring our hands, not sure what we're going to do. So, be still and know that he is God. Be still. Be still and know that he is God. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7-8. Let me just read some. It sort of seems out of the subject, but let me just say something here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7-8. Jesus is teaching on prayer. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And he says something that puzzles me for a long time. I'm going to read to you what puzzled me. And it puzzled me because of what I experienced in church growing up. It says this, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, that phrase puzzled me because I grew up in Pentecostal and charismatic churches where prayer is presented as you saying a whole lot of stuff for a very long time, and then you quit and went on and did something else. And what I came to grips with is that I am not heard by God because of my many words. And there takes some maturity to begin to understand this when it comes to prayer. Again, this is something we bring up before. It's why I say I brought this up before. We can fall into a trap of considering prayer all the things that I say to God. That's prayer. That is a portion of prayer. But it's not the entirety of what we would consider prayer. You see, And this is just my observation, is I don't have to get God's attention by my many words. Have you ever, when your kids were little, you're in the middle of something, and one of your kids says, "Hey, Mom, hey, Daddy," you don't respond first. And they go, "Hey, Mom," or "Hey, Dad." And they just don't stop until you pay attention to them. You know what I'm talking about? You're in the middle of something. Your concentration is not on them. And they're just like, "Hey, Mom, hey, Mom, hey, Mom, hey, Mom." You're just like, "Bruh." You know what I'm talking about? That's not God in your prayer life. You don't have to go, "Hey, God, hey, God, hey, God, hey, God, hey, God." And you find, "Oh, bruh." And he finally pays attention to you. God does not pay attention to you because of your many words. That takes some maturity to understand. You see, I definitely have words, and I cast my cares upon him. And sometimes I'm casting my cares upon him. I have emotions. Sometimes I'm frustrated. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm worried. Yeah, sure, absolutely, 100%. Absolutely. But I've got to learn to be still and know that he is God. Because in my many words doesn't necessarily make me know that he's God. I'm presenting my needs, my requests, what I want. You get to know him as God because you learn to be still with him. The more mature I come into my life with Jesus, the more my prayer becomes more contemplative. And what I mean by that is it's not some sort of mental relaxation technique, nor is it like trying to center myself in some sort of meditation. But what it is simply being in his presence and learning to be there with him personally and draw on his stability. He is the stable one. And I've learned that my quietness in his presence is just as important as the words that I say. I learned to be still. So listen, so I can know, where does worry run rampant? In your brain. Where does anxiousness have its day? In your brain. Your mind, man, it's... Be still and know he is God. See, the quietness. So when I was in college getting one of my degrees that I have, one of our professors made us read this book called The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. It is an awful book. It's boring. As a matter of fact, but it's a good book. Every intern I've ever had since then that aspires to be in ministry, I've given this book and I say, "You have to read this book." And they all come back and say, "That's just the worst book ever." But what's in it's good. And there's disciplines that this man writes about that are drawing you into a relational aspect of being with God. And a couple of things he talks about is solitude and silence. You say, where is that in the Bible? Solitude. When you pray, close the door and pray to your Father. And when he sees what you do in secret, he will reward you. Solitude. Jesus would often go to desolate and lonely places by himself and pray. Solitude. Silence. Get rid of distraction. Remove from the situation anything that will distract you from being with God. And this is something we talk about a lot. So when I pray, often it's when I get to the office and I'm usually the first one there and I have a little lamp on. I turn my lamp on. I don't even turn the office lights on. I turn the hallway lights on. I don't turn my office lights on because I have a big whiteboard and something that has stuff written on it. It'll take my attention. Silence it. Keep it in the dark. I don't pray. I don't play praise and worship music when I pray. Why? Because I don't want to think over top of something that's there. Nothing wrong with that, but That's not the Holy Spirit. I want to hear him, not the music, even though it's good stuff. Silence. And it's in the practice of solitude and silence, removing distraction. If my phone was distracting, I wouldn't have it with me. Not pulling up emails on my laptop. Whatever. It's in that way that I've learned to be still and know that he is God. Now, I do have several words in my prayer. I praise him. I worship him. I'll pray for my family. I pray for you guys, believe it or not. I have some personal things that I pray, but I got a list that I'll work through. But I'll then also stop talking and be still. And pay attention to him relationally in that moment, or 2 moments, or 3 moments. And I think I said this recently, because I just spent a whole bunch of time trying to get him to pay attention to me. Now I gotta be sure I take time to pay attention to him. And that's where you draw on who he is. Remember, prayer is the primary way, and this is Richard Foster, right? The prayer is the primary way God forms you. But he can't form you if you just blitz out everything you have to say and exit stage left, right, left, left. Because to be still, watch this, to be still in his presence because he's not anxious. To be still in his presence because he's not worried. You see, I'm getting that. To be still in his presence because he's not unsure what to do. Again, this is whole this business of what we always say here all the time. Slowing down is one of the best things you can do in your life. Now, I get it. The worst thing you can do to somebody that's feeling anxious today, would you just stop being anxious? Or somebody who's worrying, would you just stop worrying? I'm famous on the staff over there saying, just relax. I'm famous for saying it. Not always the best thing to say. But that whole business of Philippians 4, that you present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in him. That peace that transcends comes because you pay attention to the stable one after you present your request. And you give it. You see, if you have enough time to worry, then you have enough time to pray. If you have enough time to worry, you have enough time to slow down and wait on him. Right? It just depends what you're going to do in the moment. You can be consumed by your worry and not stop thinking about it, and that's what you end up doing. Or you can find yourself in worry and stop, present your request to God. You don't have to do it with many words, then be in his presence. And take time with the stable one. Psalm 27 said, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid?" Right? Psalm 27 ends with, "Therefore I will wait on the Lord." How do you wait on him? You wait. You spend time. You're there. He is the ever-present helping, but are you present? That's the thing. Are you present? He's the ever-present help in time, but are you present? You ever talk to somebody who's not paying attention to you? You're just like, you're just not here. We'll just talk later. Your mind, you're not present in the moment. You've got to learn to be present with him. Remember that, I think it's Jacob, in Genesis 28. He makes a statement. He says, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Well, how about this? I believe surely the Lord is in this place and I want to know it. Because I'm waiting on him. Right? Listen. I need him. Every single day of my life. The worst day of my life and the bestest day ever. I need him. Why wouldn't I take time to wait on him in some manner? You know, the fact that you're not heard because of your many words, that's very comforting to me. You know why it's comforting? Because God is not expecting me to jump through a bunch of hoops to get to him. And Jesus said that in relation to some religious practices that were happening. So there's a reason why he said it. I don't have to jump through a bunch of religious hoops to get God to hear me. He doesn't hear me because I fill the atmosphere with my words. Thank goodness. That if I'm driving down the road, and in just a split moment, I can call out to him and whatever, and it took 5 seconds, he heard me. Right? What I also want to do is, Lord, I want to know you. Know you. Renew my mind. Let your presence be what I'm very sensitive to. See, I'm getting at. And to do that, you got to be still. So if I'm driving somewhere and I pray something, it took 5 seconds, and maybe I just need to keep the latest podcast I'm listening to off. And just have a little bit of a drive. Lord, I just want to be with you for a few moments. You see, I'm getting that. There's a certain way of beginning to engage and interact with him like that that I believe would help many of you when you begin to face moments that cause anxiousness and worry and what do I do and I'm not sure what to do and this took me by surprise or whatever the case may be. Because don't you think he desires in those moments to grab hold of you? Say, hey, I'm here. I am the ever-present help in a time of trouble. I'm here. Pay attention to me. I will give you a peace that doesn't make sense in the middle of this situation. It doesn't make sense for you to feel that contentment and assuredness right now. Doesn't make sense. But I'm going to give it to you because I'm present with you and you're paying attention to me. There's a certain aspect of maturity to your prayer life that gets to those moments. I would encourage you to begin to purposely practice it. We talked about this a little while ago. Remember, I put a chair up here and I sat down. I'm bringing this all up again because the Holy Spirit just, hey, let's talk about it again. So here I am. Reminder to you. because life is not always easy. And life is not always perfect. Right? And just because my Eagles are going to the Super Bowl doesn't mean my life is great. Now you know who to root for, right? Amen? Amen? How many of you could use that kind of peace in your life? Anybody?
Yeah.
It's there. That's the thing. It's there. There have been times when I've come to God with things that I'm just like, wah! And the only thing I can do is just sit there and say nothing. So overwhelmed, frustrated, and just engage His presence. Some of the best things you can ever do. Isn't that what relationships are all about? Yeah, that's how we find it. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. How about we wait with Him for a couple moments? I'm going to pray something real quick, and we're going to wait with Him. Lord, we believe that You are ever-present. And Lord, we all need You right here and right now in some way. And the wonderful majesty of the scene of the throne room of which You occupy right now, I pray that there's something about that scene that strikes us. That You are the one who sets things. You are the one who orders things. You are the one who puts things in place. You are the one who holds the beginning and the end. You are the one that through all things exists. And I pray we grab hold of that stableness in our life, the stability of who You are. And Lord, I pray just a moment as we just kind of sit here and still in Your presence. That everybody here has a reassurance of who You are and a peace that passes all understanding begins to guard our hearts and our minds in that. Let's just wait on Him for a minute. Wait in Him. Amen, amen. Well, I'm glad you came tonight. We'll see you Sunday. Bring out somebody. We're going to talk about one more meal, Jesus, on Sunday. There's a bunch more. We're going to hit one more Sunday. Then the following Sunday, we're heading into the Sermon on the Mount. I'm excited about that. So anyways, be blessed as you go. We'll see you Sunday morning. Bring a friend out. Have a wonderful rest of the week.